Well, today we're continuing our series called A Royal Heart. And I've got some, you ever hear anybody say, I got good news and bad news? I got some great news and some challenging news. Well, you know, what do you want first? The great news, good. Okay, I'll give you that. I'm glad you chose that. So the great news is that God wants to promote you. If you're a child of God, if you're a son or daughter of God, God wants to promote you. Nobody's excited about that. I thought that was good news. Is anybody excited about that? You feel like it's a catch, don't you? Is anybody excited about that? I know. Some of you pessimists, you're sheltering yourself for the bad news. I know you are. How many of you think it's good news that God wants to promote you? You think it's good news? All right. Seven of you think it's good, so I'll go with that. I don't think I can push any harder. Here's the challenging news. God wants to promote you, but his process of promotion has everything to do with how you respond to the authorities in your life. No, there's nothing now. It's like crickets. David was had one of the most unlikely promotions in world history. He went from the pasture watching sheep to the palace ruling over an entire nation. And I just want to say to you, that had so much more to do with what he allowed God to do in his heart than it had to do with politics or networking or any other thing that you and I can think of. The quickest path to promotion in God's kingdom, in God's economy, in God's way, is to allow the Holy Spirit to develop inside of you what we're calling in this series is a royal heart. Now the challenge is that all of us started life with the heart of a rebel or the heart of a slave or the heart of an orphan or the heart of a Pharisee. But when you make Jesus the king of your heart, he starts the work of heart transformation to transform you away from that broken heart and to give you the heart of a son or a daughter of the king, which means you're royal. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a chosen people, the New Testament says. So Jesus transforms our heart into royal heart. So this morning what I want to do is I want to give you four principles I'm calling of promotion from King David's life. Now, these are not going to follow traditional patterns of promotion that you might have learned, out in the normal economy. In fact, they might be opposite in some ways. But the way you get promoted in the current environment is, you set up a LinkedIn account, right? You put all your experience, you get as many friends as you can get, you build followers, you build a platform, you begin to network, you build your reputation, you make an attractive looking profile. And I'm not saying that any of those things are bad in and of themselves. I'm saying they're all external. But promotion in the kingdom of God does not come through external means. It comes through internal transformation. It comes through the work of God in you and I's heart. So I want to share with you a principle, a word that is oftentimes seen as a negative word or a bad word or maybe a four-letter word to some people. It's the word submission. We don't use that word positively in our culture hardly at all. We don't value that principle in our culture much at all. Now, let me give you a caveat, okay? A couple of caveats. This is the hardest message in this series to teach, to hear, to receive, to get your heart and mind around. And it takes some processing to get there. It's tough. So I'm going to be teaching more today than I have been in the rest of the series. The other caveat is every time you teach something like this, people always start to ask, what's going on? Did somebody do something wrong? You know, is somebody upset, or is there a problem somewhere, or is somebody mad at somebody? And the answer to all of those questions is no. And if somebody is mad at somebody, please don't tell me because I don't know about it and I don't want to know about it. All right, let's just leave it like that. So the caveat is no. You know, who's he talking to? Everybody. I'm talking to me. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to everybody. So it has nothing to do with any of that. In fact, this teaching has nothing to do with anything that's going on out here. It has everything to do with what's going on in here. And if you can grab that, you are on your way to being promoted in God's kingdom. I promise you. So Acts 13, 22, let's start. After removing Saul, he made David their king. God did. God testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. Why was David a man after God's own heart? He will do everything I want him to do. God promoted David because God could trust David to do everything that God wanted him to do. And the reason that God knew that he could trust him is because he didn't just spring up one day as a mighty warrior and a king that would do everything God wanted to do. David had been submitted to the authorities in his life since he was a child. He submitted to his dad. He submitted to his family. He submitted to Samuel the prophet when God sent Samuel the prophet to mentor him. David even submitted to foreign kings. When he was on their property or their territory, he would submit to how they wanted to do things. And David, most difficult of all, submitted to King Saul. King Saul was an ungodly king. He's the worst boss ever. You think you have a bad boss? Why don't you pull the night shift with King Saul? He was terrible. But David submitted to him because he had a heart of a king before he was a king, and that's what we're calling a royal heart. So let's just look at the word for a minute, submission. What does it mean? Break it apart. Submission, to come up under someone else's mission. That's what submission means. It means to come up underneath someone else's mission. It means to bring the gifts that you have and the strengths that you have and the resources that you have to come up under and lift up someone else's mission and support their mission and to see their mission into completion. And you know what happens when you do that? Then God gives you your own mission because he can trust you. Because he can trust you because you follow through. So this morning, I want to give you four principles of promotion. I promise you, if you go to a conference somewhere, these are not going to be taught on how to get a promotion, okay? So these are straight out of Scripture. Number one, all authority comes from God. So for 10 years, David ran from Saul because Saul was trying to kill him. And as we said, Saul's the worst boss, worst authority you could have. David actually had opportunities to kill Saul. And David's men actually tried to talk David into killing Saul. But David would never do that because he believed that Saul was the authority that God put in place. And if he were to resist or rebel against that authority, it would be like rebelling against God. Now, that might seem like a weird principle to us, but it's taught in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Let me show it to you in the New Testament. Romans 13, 1. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. And I know some of you are saying, is that really in the Bible? He just made that up. That's really in the Bible. You can turn to Romans chapter 13 and you can read it there. I'm not making it up. So when we submit to authority, we understand that all authority comes from God. So to submit to authority is to submit to God. To rebel against authority is to rebel against God. Submission starts in the heart of God. Rebellion starts in the heart of Satan. And so we know that Satan led a rebellion in heaven. No surprise. So if you want to be promoted, if you want your heart to become all God wants it to be, are you going to choose God's way or Satan's way? Because there's two different paths. So when we submit or rebel, it's not about what we're doing to the person in authority. It's about what we're doing to God and ultimately what we're doing to our own heart. God leads through authority. God works through authority. So if you had no, think about it. If you have no leader, you have no vision. You have no direction. Leaders bring order and direction and they empower people. So if we had no police, we'd have chaos in the streets. If there were no parents, imagine if we had no parents in any home anywhere, it'd be Lord of the Flies. Right? It'd be chaos. What if we had no teachers in any classroom? Chaos. What if we had no coaches in any athletics? Chaos. Right? Because all authority comes from God. If you had no boss at work, it'd be chaos. The only conclusion that you can reach from Romans 13, 1 and 2 is that all authority actually comes from God. Now, let me take it a step further. In case I haven't offended everyone yet, I'm going to reach for the last person I hadn't offended. Here we go. It's an election year. Oh, no. Don't go there. Please, Pastor, don't go there. It's an election year. There's a 50% chance that your candidate's going to lose. But guess what? Whoever wins is the authority that God has set over this nation. And God will judge them on how they lead, but he will judge us on how we follow. Now that's tough medicine in an election year, isn't it? But I don't know how else you can interpret Romans chapter 13, 1 and 2 other than that. 1 Peter, just so you know, it's not some obscure place in Scripture that never appears twice. Let me show you in 1 Peter 2, 13 through 14. Listen to this. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority. Are we sure we're talking about human authority? Yes. To every human authority, whether to the emperor, whatever you think the next president's going to be, dictator, emperor, whatever you think they're going to be, to the emperor as the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. Submission to authority is the way that God's work gets done. So principle number one of promotion is this. Recognize that all authority comes from God. Number two, God uses authority to cultivate a royal heart in you. How does that work? Again, David ran for his life for 10 years from Saul because Saul was trying to kill him, but David continued to submit to Saul. Now, Saul was selfish, he was manipulative, he was narcissistic, he was power hungry, and he was willing to kill anyone who got in his way. Why would it be necessary for David to submit to a psychopath like that? Why would that matter? Listen, because David wasn't perfect. And David had broken pieces in his heart. And God used even that ungodly leader and David's submission to him to purify David's heart and to cultivate into David the resiliency and the energy and the proper motive and the purity and the servant-hearted nature. And I'm sure he was writing a little note every time he saw Saul do something dumb and goes, man, if I'm ever a leader, I'm never going to do that to anybody. I'm never going to do that. And he was teaching him and mentoring him and tutoring him, and he was purifying his heart, and he was developing his character, and he was producing inside David a desperation for God. Because, man, let's face it. If you have to submit to someone that's difficult, it's hard. And it hurts, and it presses you. Now, why would David have to do that? Because David wasn't perfect, and David was being prepared by God for something bigger. So we think submission to a leader or a boss or, you know, we think it's about the person. So people ask, hey, what kind of boss you got? How's your boss? How's your manager? How's the teacher in, you know, your algebra class? How's your algebra teacher? How's your coach? We think it's all about the leader. Can I just tell you? It has nothing to do with the leader. It's never about them. God will take care of them. What it is about is it's about your heart. And it's about what happens in your heart, and it's about what happens in my heart. And when we think it's about that, we miss one of the greatest works of God that he's ever going to do in our inner life, because we think it's about all of that. Now, I'm not saying that you should endure some kind of pattern of abuse, physical abuse or emotional abuse or verbal abuse or anything like that. David never allowed Saul to kill him. He evaded him. He used strategy, he used tactics, but neither would David ever violate his submission to him. David kept his heart submitted to him, even when he wouldn't allow Saul to abuse him. So I'm not saying that means that we submit to some kind of, you know, abuse or anything, but I do want you to think about it like this. Is it possible that the harder it is to submit in a certain situation, the greater the potential work that God's going to do in your inner life, and the greater the work God does in your heart, the bigger future he might have for you? So think about it for a minute. You might have somebody that's just a little grouchy in your life. David had a psychopath king who was harassed by demons. That's who he had to submit to. But you know what? That submission allowed God to reach deep in David's heart and do an unbelievable work. Watch this. But then he raised David up to be the greatest king in Israel's history. And Israel rose to a place of epic glory. And David became one of Jesus' ancestors. Whoa. You want to be promoted? It's just like, I'm good. I'm okay. You've got to go through the cave of transformation to be prepared to do everything that God has set in your life. Now, I say that to say you will be tested. Everybody gets tested. And my encouragement to you, when the test comes, don't lean out, lean in. And maybe by this point you're thinking, I mean, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? Just when somebody, some authority in my life asks me to do something, just do it, whether it makes sense or not? Well, the simple answer is flat out yes. Yes, just do it. Why? Because the authority that God put in your life asked you to do it. Now, if they ask you to sin, you don't have to sin. That's where we break. There's a fork in the road there. Then a higher principle takes over, right? And so we're not going to do sin. We're not going to live under abuse. That's not what we're talking about. We're going to break in those cases. But the challenge we have is, in our current culture, what we've been taught all our life that matters is our opinion matters, and our preference matters, and our rights matter, and what we want matter. But here's the thing: none of those produce a royal heart. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus, if you want to be a follower of Jesus, that requires you and I to submit to what God wants us to do. Just think about it. We talk about it at Pentecostal Church. We want to live a Spirit-led life. You know the only way to live a Spirit-led life? When the Spirit leads, you submit. That's what a Spirit-led life is. The Spirit goes this way, you go that way. Spirit goes that way, you go that way. A Spirit-led life is submitting to the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. So here's the test. If you can't submit to your boss that you can see, or your teacher that you can see, or your coach that you can't see, or your parents that you can see, or the government that you can see, or the leader that God put in your life that you can see, how are you ever going to submit to Jesus that you can't see? How does that work? If you look inside someone's life or your own life and see how you engage with authority, you know what you're going to learn? You're going to learn a lot about your spiritual life, because how you engage with authority physically is a picture of your spiritual life. So submitting matters because of what it does to your heart. It transforms your heart. All right. The surgery's going well. We'll be done in a few more minutes. Everybody still with me? Should we just dismiss? You want some more? I got two more. All right, here we go. Number three. You have to follow before you can lead. You have to follow before you can lead. So 2 Samuel 7:8 says, "Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture, tending sheep, and appointed you ruler over my people." You know what God is saying about David? He's saying, "David, you were such an amazing follower that you are going to be a fantastic king. You were so good at submitting to the people around you and doing what you were asked to do and doing with all your heart. Man, you are going to be an amazing king, because you have to be a son before you can be a king. You have to be loved before you can lead. You have to come under before you can go over, and you have to receive before you can give, and you have to serve before you can rule." That's why Jesus was the greatest leader the world's ever known, because he was the best follower the world's ever seen. Let me show you where we get that from. John 5:19. Jesus gave them this answer. "Very truly I say, the Son can do nothing by himself." I'm not a loose cannon. I'm not doing this. I'm not going at it on my own. Jesus is saying, I can do nothing by myself. I only do what I see the Father do, and I only say what I hear the Father say. You know why Jesus was such an amazing leader? Because he was the best follower we've ever seen. Jesus was an ultimate leader. But here's the question. Jesus, you know, was fully human. How did Jesus submit to the Father with such complete and utter abandonment? Let me show you how in John 13:3. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and he was returning to God. Now here's what happened. That verse states the truth about Jesus' life. And then after that truth is revealed, Jesus gets up and he walks over to the table and he takes the lowest position in the room and he starts to wash all the disciples' feet. Why? Watch. Because Jesus knew his identity. Jesus knew who he was. He knew where he came from, and he knew where he was going. He didn't need a title. He didn't need a position. He didn't need a role. He came from the Father. He was returning to the Father. He was clear on his identity. Most of the time when we struggle with submission to God or whoever else it might be, we struggle because we don't know our identity. We don't know who we are. And we're so afraid that if we submit to this thing that we're being asked to do, that it's going to make us become someone that we don't want to become, or do something we don't want to do, or it's going to make us weak somehow. But when you have security in the Father's love, you know that submitting even to an ungodly person isn't going to change your identity, because your identity doesn't come from that person. Your identity comes from a heavenly Father who sent his Son Jesus to die for you and make you a son or daughter of God. Not an orphan, not a slave, not a rebel, not a Pharisee, but a son or a daughter of God. And nothing can change that identity in you. And when you're clear on that, you are free to submit. You are free to serve, because that identity can never be taken away from you. Amen. Regardless of what position you're in. Oh, come on. One time. It's a hard message. I know it is. It's very countercultural. Sometimes you see people who can't submit to anybody about anything. And the reason you see that is because they have a heart of an orphan. And they've been abandoned or neglected, and they've been taught that every good thing that's ever going to happen in your life is up to you because nobody really loves you. And that's an identity problem. So when you see a lack of submission to a parent or a coach or a boss or in marriage, Scripture teaches us that we submit to one another in marriage. It's usually because of insecurity. So here's a question I have for you. Are you a good follower? Like, just evaluate. Just take an inventory this morning. Online, take an inventory this morning. And just evaluate yourself. Are you a good follower? Because that has everything to do with how royal your heart is. Let's look at Hebrews 13, 17, just so you'll be absolutely sure I'm not making it up. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work, look at that, look at this little sentence. Do that so their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. So that your work will be a joy. So let me give you a royal heart test. You want to know one of the ways to test your heart to find out how much royalty you have flowing through there. Here it is. Are you a joy to lead? Like if we were to be able to interview your boss or coach or teacher or friend or spouse or parent or whoever's in your life, if we were to be able to evaluate them and say, now this person right here, is it a joy to lead them or is it a problem? And this scripture teaches us that if you're allowing God to develop the heart inside you that he wants to put inside each one of his children, man, you make your leader's work a joy. Like it's a joy to lead you. So the question is, would you want to lead you? It's college football season, and I'm always amazed how many times you hear about, you know, this new coach is trying to change the culture. You know, we always hear these things, and they're coming in, and, you know, where they're really struggling is in the locker room. You know, it's not on the field. It's not the X's and O's. It's not the – it's in the locker room. They don't really have any leaders in the locker room. What are they talking about? What they're talking about is they don't have any players that have bought in to what the coach is teaching and trying to do. Therefore, that coach is a lame duck. They're sitting on nothing. And until you can get those leaders in the locker room to buy into what you're doing and start to lead their peers, you got nothing. Because you need somebody that puts a helmet on and pads on just like they do, and they're going to go out there and take the hits just like they do to say, no. Listen to what coach is trying to teach. Let's go that way. And you know what's crazy about this? Ironically, do you know why those leaders become so effective? Because they're the best followers on the team. And because they're the best followers on the team, they become the best leaders on the team because you have to follow before you lead. What if you and I took on that first leader mentality, that first follower mentality? What if you were at practice and the coach said, you know, I'll run one more lap. Instead of going, I hate this team and I want to shoot myself. You know, I don't even know why I woke up this morning. What if you went out there and said, hey, we can do it. Let's go. I mean, what if you at work and the boss said, hey, I need this by Friday. Oh, Friday. Why do they always do this to us? And I'm blah, blah, blah. And what if you said, hey, I think we can do it. Let's work together. I mean, I know how every parent would love this. What if you said, hey, guess what? This Saturday's chore day. And it says that I hate living here. My parents abused me, and this is disgusting. I have to pick up my nasty clothes that I laid in the floor for 17 years. I have to pick them up now. It's so miserable. What if you went in and said, you know what? We can get this done, and I bet if we get in and work together, we'll get it knocked out in 30 minutes. Whoa. Because if you ever are going to reach your destiny in God, you got to become a good follower. You have to become a good follower. You have to. If you can't follow anybody else, you can't follow God. Don't hyper-spiritualize it. The tests are all down here. We graduate down here. But as we graduate up into the kingdom of God, and God gives us more and more things because we become more and more trustworthy. And he knows that we'll be a good steward of it. Now, that doesn't mean that if you have a royal heart, you succeed at everything you do. It's not about always reaching the goal. Always, maybe the project can't be done by Friday. I don't know. But you know what? You can always try. You can try. You can give everything that you've been asked to do an honest attempt. And it doesn't mean you'll be perfect. It doesn't mean it'll always work out. But let me tell you what will happen. It doesn't matter if you meet the deadline by Friday. Let me tell you what matters. What matters is what is happening in your heart when you honestly try. God is developing a heart inside of you that is trustworthy. That's what matters. If you want to get promoted, every time somebody asks you to do something, just give it an honest try. To become a great follower, if you become a great follower, God will promote you because it'll be a joy to him to promote you. Number four, submission brings breakthrough. Okay, 10 years, we've said this many times, 10 years, David submitted to Saul. And then after 10 years, breakthrough comes. And then David is king. And he raises Israel to a place of epic glory. He becomes the ancestor of Jesus. The fastest way for David to arrive at his destiny was to walk through 10 years of submission to a demon-possessed king. That was the fastest way. Now what's interesting is David killed Goliath. You know the story. David had 5 stones, and he slung it, and he hit him right between the eyes, killed Goliath. Here's what's interesting about the story. David was a national hero in that very moment. He hit him between the eyes. He killed the giant. He killed the enemy of Israel, and he won the whole day and the whole year, the territory, everything for Israel. David could have taken the other 4 stones and turned around and looked at Saul, and he could have said, "You're next." Because God said, "I'm king and not you, and you're next." And if he would have done, and you know what? And the people would have followed him because he's a hero. But if he would have done that, he would have done God's work Satan's way. You can't do God's work Satan's way. You can't do God's work your way. You got to do God's work God's way. And let me tell you what he did. He put those 4 stones in his pocket, and he carried them around for 10 years. And he submitted to a demon-possessed king for 10 years with those rocks in his pocket. And I'm sure there were days he pulled them out and went, "Today's the day. Like, we're done." You know what submission really is? It's not trusting the authority that God has put in your life. It's trusting that authority is what God has put in your life. Because not all authorities are good. And not all authorities are right. Not all authorities even have the right motive. But it is submitting to God and saying, "God, I trust that your way is better than the world's way. So I'm going to do what you wanted me to do." So I just want to close this morning. David got an advantage on Saul a few times. But this one particular time, King Saul was hunting David, trying to find him and kill him. And Saul had moved into the territory with his army. And his army had bedded down for the night, and they were asleep. And David took one of his men, Abishai. He said, "Abishai, come with me into the enemy's camp. And we're going to go, and we're going to steal Saul's spear and his water bucket. And we're going to show him that we could have killed him, but we didn't. We're here. So we're going to show him we mean good. We want to reconcile if we can." And look what 1 Samuel 26 says. Abishai said to David, "Hey, today God has delivered your enemy into your hands. Let me pin him to the ground with one thrust of the spear. I won't strike him by sword. I'm not going to miss. I hate this guy. He's been a thorn in my flesh for years." But David said to Abishai, "Don't destroy him. Who can lay a hand on the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? As surely as the Lord lives," he said, "the Lord himself will strike him, or his time will come and he will die, or he will go into battle and perish. But the Lord forbid that I should lay a hand on the Lord's anointed. Now get the spear and water jug that are near his head and let's go. Now Abishai had a choice. He was tired of living on the run. He was tired of running for his life. He was tired of hiding in caves in the wilderness and living like animals. He had a choice. He could say, we'll never get this opportunity again. I'm taking the guy out right now, and I'm going to put an end to this right now. But he didn't. Watch. He chose to submit to David. Now, where did he get that from? He watched David submit to a demon-possessed, ungodly king for 10 years. That's where he got it. He said, okay, David, this makes no... I think you've lost your mind. This makes no sense to me. But I'm going to do it because you asked me to do it. And he took the spear, he took the water bucket, and he left. And you know what happened? Watch this. Remember when I said submission leads to breakthrough? Submission leads to promotion? You know what happened to Abishai? He became one of David's mighty men, and he became one of the captains of the army in Israel, and he was promoted. He was just a private when that happened, and he got promoted. You know why? Because submission brings breakthrough. Watch, submission brings breakthrough. So when Jesus went and told these lepers, hey, go and show yourself to the priest. We can't show ourselves to the priest. Are you crazy? We have leprosy. The priest will kick us out, all kind of stuff. And as they went, as they submitted to Jesus' words and went, guess what? They were healed. Jesus walked out on the water one night to the Apostle Peter, and he said, throw your net on the other side. He said, I've been a fisherman all my life. I know where the fish are. The fish aren't here. What are you talking about? Throw. I've been fishing. Oh, there's not one fish near this boat. He said, throw the net on the other side. He threw the net on the other side, and you know what happened? They drew up so many fish, they almost sunk the boat. Because submission leads to breakthrough. When they were out on a hillside one time and they had a little boy's lunch with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and Jesus said, pass it out and feed 5,000 people. They said, are you crazy? This is just enough food for one kid. He said, pass it out. And they passed it out, and you know what? It fed 5,000 people and had 12 baskets left over, because submission leads to breakthrough. And you and I can do it. You know why? Joseph submitted to Potiphar, and David submitted to Saul, and Daniel submitted to Nebuchadnezzar, and Jesus submitted to Pilate, and Paul submitted to Nero. I think we're going to be okay. These are really, really bad people. You know what Nero did? Nero took Christians and hung them on a spear and lit them on fire and used them like streetlights. You think you got a bad boss? You think your coach is mean? I think we're going to be okay. The real question is not what kind of authority do you have in your life. Listen. The real question is, what is in your heart? That's the question. That is the question. What is in your heart? So the real question is, will you surrender to the things that God asks you to do? Because when you do, he promotes you. When you do, you see breakthrough. When you do, you see things begin to change. Look, submission's not quitting. It's not giving up. You know what it is? It's walking into a worldly system and saying, I will not do this work the world's way. I'm going to do the work God's way, and I'm going to walk in with a royal heart, and I'm going to reveal the kingdom of God, and I walk in with a cry of a heart that says, I will not work the world's way. I will not work the world's way. I'm going to work God's way. Now, that takes a lot of trust and a lot of faith. Would you stand with me this morning? Our worship team's going to lead us in one final song, and I want to invite you to prayer after that. Lord, today, I pray as we gather around this moment, in this room and online, that your spirit would soften our heart for the work that you came to do. Because there is work you're doing right now, and we want to surrender to that. In Jesus' name, sing this with our worship.